Welcome to the Goddess Divine podcast. Join me as I unveil the stories of goddesses from across time and cultures. We will dive deep into the archetypes and energies that these goddesses embody, and we'll explore the practical applications of goddess wisdom in our daily lives. We'll discuss how to connect with the divine feminine through rituals, meditation, creative expression, and acts of conscious living. Whether you're a seasoned practitioner of goddess spirituality or just beginning your journey, this podcast is for you. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Goddess Divine podcast. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. I wanted to drop in here and really make this week's episode about finding ways to connect with a goddess and having a daily practice. I think sometimes when we go along this path, it can be a little bit confusing in terms of what that relationship looks like between yourself and a specific goddess, or what the devotion is actually supposed to look like. You know, there's not really a written manual in terms of how do I connect with this goddess? You know, how do I, what devotional acts am I supposed to do? How frequently am I supposed to meditate at the altar? You know, there isn't really a written manual. And even after I give you suggestions today, you're kind of crafting your own practice. And that's what makes this beautiful, but also a little complicated for people because, you know, when you have a very structured religion, you know the ins and outs, you know the do's and don'ts, you know what the daily devotion is supposed to look like, you know how many times you have to pray and what the exact prayer is. It's all kind of written out for you. But when it comes to doing something like goddess work, I like to call it that, or goddess craft, you are creating your own. And when we're doing something like that, that is considered sacred work, we have a lot of questions. Am I doing it right? What does it take to connect? What is it supposed to look like? How often am I supposed to speak to this goddess? How often are they supposed to be getting into contact to me? And what does it look like for them to contact me? I think these are all very fair questions. And these are questions I've examined as well as I continue to learn about more goddesses and interact and connect. And even as I'm sitting here now talking to you, I can feel somebody come in. I don't know who's here. I'd have to close my eyes and ask, but somebody is certainly here to help, because in a personal sense, I've kind of struggled with this as well. And for most of you who already know me, you're aware that, yes, I grew up Christian and we had very specific practices and revivals and baptism, like all these steps, right? It was all outlined. So there wasn't really any confusion. I think a little bit more so there could be confusion or lack of direction when it comes to quote unquote this work. So I just wanted to spend some time with you today talking about what it is to connect daily with a goddess. Whether this is you being an actual devotee, or maybe you're not a devotee of that goddess. There are goddesses that I've been studying and then creating the episodes on, and also studying for the massive class that I've been creating forever, and learning about them and connecting with them so that I can feel their energy and so that I can teach what they want me to teach, and so that I'm not misguided or misdirected, right? But I'm not necessarily a devotee of them. I'm learning from them, but I have not committed at that level. And there's certain levels, you know, you have dedicate yourself to several goddesses. You can be 100% a devotee to a specific goddess and have a very long-term relationship that evolves over time. Or you can be a priestess of a specific goddess, which to me is a lifetime commitment, right? And that takes a lot of thought. I have not done that. And I think I've said this before on the show, that when I first met, I'm going to use the word Artemis, and I'm sure you all are familiar with her, but when I first connected to her energy, she didn't present herself as Artemis. She presented herself as Diana. And I'll never forget her voice because it was so specific, even just the tone of her words. And her first question to me was, are you going to be a devotee? But she preferred to use the word companion. Are you going to be a companion? Like, this is a lifetime commitment. And honestly, I said no because I had not yet had the chance to study her deeply. I hadn't engaged. I don't know what that relationship looked like to be a devotee or a companion of her. I didn't know what the expectations were. You know, like I always tell people, don't just say yes. You need to learn because you're kind of almost in a way taking a vow or an oath to be with them. And there are certain people whose literature I do read that I have profound respect for who are priestesses of, let's say, one in particular that I'm aware of the Morrigan. And I love the Morrigan. And again, I always think like, wow, what did it take for you to kind of cross that threshold and become a priestess of that goddess? Even priestesses of Isis, right? Which I feel like are everywhere. Priestesses of Hecate and so many others that are popular. I would say popular in popular culture today for many people. I wonder what that looks like and what the change is in the nature of that relationship, especially in terms of connection, daily practice, how they communicate with you, how often they're communicating with you. I wonder if it's more intense once you've made that vow or taken that oath to be a priestess of that spirit. Anyway, the point of today's call or message is to talk about daily connections with a goddess, even if you're not necessarily a devotee, but if there's one you want to connect with and learn about, as I've always said before, learn their history, learn their stories, also understand the contextual history of which their stories were written, because this is something that the goddesses always bring to my mind. You know, it's like one of the first things they tell me, hey, understand the history, especially when it comes to gender relations during that time, because you know that story is always written from a very specific bias. So when they talk to me about their stories, it's a little different than what I've actually read through scholarship. So be mindful of that. But I think that the daily connection with the goddess can be both sacred, of course, and simple. It doesn't have to be overly elaborate or time consuming or overly complex. It's really about creating intentional moments of connection. And the key to this, I would say, is consistency, being present, and having a personal resonance with the goddess. You know, even like small rituals that are repeated with sincerity, they can become really powerful threads that keep your relationship with the divine alive and even meaningful. And for me in particular, and I'll talk to you about this as we go along this episode today, but with some goddesses, I found at the beginning were way more intense, and it was great because they really made their presence known. And then with others, not so much, but randomly, they would make their presence known out of the blue. So it certainly is very experiential. And I think that it's exciting in that way because it can be unpredictable, but also it can be frustrating, right? Because it can be unpredictable. So that's why I always ask people to share their stories with me, because I want to know, what does it look like for you? What does the day-to-day look like for you? When do they come unexpectedly? And how are they communicating with you? So in terms of what general daily practices could look like, one could simply be just having a very small altar with a goddess, whether it's a candle, right, and a little statue, and then just lighting that candle or even lighting an incense that's associated with them, and then kind of whispering an invocation or just saying thank you. You know, thank you for being present today. Or something to the extent of a smaller offering. So for example, if you lit a small candle, just taking a moment in front of that candle and saying something to the effect of, this flame I offer to you, beloved goddess, may your light be in my heart today, and just taking a moment of gratitude, and that's it. We all have very busy lives, and most of us work that 8-5, 7-4, 11-8, or whatever shift you work, everybody works, so do I. So really, trying to find even little moments to connect, even if they are very short, I think are also powerful moments, but also it's a reflection of your reverence for that goddess. You can also offer a simple prayer or even an affirmation when it comes to the goddess. I always say, speak from the heart, no matter what, be very genuine. And as I'm talking here, I'm writing little things down because I don't want to forget Some personal instances, I'm really going to be honest with you guys on the show, but some personal things that have happened to me as I'm still learning, because I feel like I'm always learning about this, right? So, for example, if you're at the altar and you want to offer a simple prayer, you can say something to the effect of, Goddess, walk with me today, help me embody your grace, or help me embody your sovereignty, or help me embody your power, empowerment, or something to that extent, whatever their reflection of, whatever it is you need help with. You can also consider wearing or carrying a symbol, so a small charm, a crystal, or something associated with the goddess that you're honoring. And it can become a talisman if you want it to be, but it certainly, if anything at all, is a reminder of her presence. You can whisper her name. So while you're going on a walk, if you get the chance, or if you're washing dishes, or during your commute, you can just softly speak her name and open your awareness to her presence. One thing that I've learned, and again, this is only because I'm clairsentient, and let me say this too. Sometimes I feel like there's misconceptions on what I can do and the scope of my, I'll just call them abilities or what have you. I wasn't clairsentient until I was 27 years old. I never had it, and it came out of the blue, and it's very strong, and it's a blessing and a curse, as my guide says. It's great because you know when something's there, but it's also a curse because it's very intense depending on the spirit that's there. And then you go out somewhere public and a lot of people, it's maddening. So it's great and it's not great, but if you have clairsentience, you can feel the change in energy, or you can feel a spirit come when you invoke them, which is calling their presence forward. That's all it means, right? You're invoking their spirit. And you can do this when you're in the car in traffic. Just take a breath, invoke them, talk to them, whisper their name, give them gratitude, ask them for clarity to help you see a situation differently. Ask for a sign if they're willing to give you one to again approach something differently, or to help you find an answer to a question that you've had, something to that extent. The one thing I wanted to say about the whole clairsentience piece that I'm adding is because I will tell you, when you invoke their presence, they are there. It may take like 10, 20 seconds, depending on who it is. Some I feel like I have to coax a little bit more, but they're there. Even if you can't feel it, I just want to reassure you, all right, that believe it or not, they are actually there. So as you continue to meditate more, open up to your spiritual gifts, really give yourself some time when it comes to stillness and presence, your ability to sense spirit will grow stronger. But it's committing time to doing little things like this. It's important to do that. Of course, you can journal, which is everybody's main thing, right? Or spend some time in reflection, even 3 to 5 minutes a day, writing out, I don't know, a thought that you might want to share with her, a question that you might have for her. And of course, always giving an offering, always. And again, you can write something so simple as, how did I walk with you today? Where can I improve today? How could I approach that situation better today? From your perspective, how could I do this, or how can I understand this? And that's always, to me, the foundation of what I'm doing with learning from this realm is, how can I understand things from your perspective? How can I see things differently? Because I do have my own way of looking at things, which I don't think is, the flawless truth. Obviously, there's always going to be distortions in your perception based off of your experience, your upbringing, your lessons, etc., right? So that's something I always feel is fundamental to understand, is how do they see things, and why do they see it that way? And what am I missing in how I'm looking at things, right? In my worldview. If you have a small altar or a sacred space, just take a moment to touch, arrange, or even refresh it. Perhaps you can add a little stone or flowers or something. Just again, that moment of presence and a thank you. Thank you being present. Thank you very much for helping me. Even if I can't see or hear you yet, I know you're here, right? That is the first step. You can always perform some sort of mindful action. So dedicate an action to her, whether it's cleaning up a space, whether it's studying something, whether it's helping someone. Do it with devotion. I think this is something very important to the goddess realm is it's not, it's yes, learning about them is crucial. Understanding them, right? You need to know who you're learning from, who your teachers are, because to me, they're mentors, teachers, and guides. That's how I see them, right? You need to understand their experiences, but also what's important to them. That is crucial. So, for example, I am a learner of Hera, and empowering women is her thing, but it's also my thing. So that's why it works. We gel well together because I know that she wants women to be strong, vocal, empowered, to be successful, but not to be so afraid. And that's something that's important to me too. So anything that I do is in direct alignment with that belief system, right? With those, I would say, overarching goals. So whether I contribute to an organization that helps lift women out of poverty or gives them the tools to become successful, right? That's done also not just because it's my personal belief system, but also dedicated in her name because she has taught me a lot about that. So those things are meaningful, okay? And before you go to bed, offer some sort of nightly thank you. So thank her for something, especially if it was a hard day, especially if she gave you a sign, especially if she answered your question. I think the thank yous are very, very important. Now, I'm going to tell you a story of the goddesses that I've experienced, but little things here and there. Just again, you learn their personalities and you learn to roll with the punches. But when I say express your gratitude, express your thank you. So I will tell you that I can be very emotional when I'm in deep gratitude, especially when I personally have experienced something in my life where I think, or not I think, where I know a spirit has contributed to helping me. And also just being present is very meaningful in my life because I've had a life where it has been very solitary. Do I want to use that word? So a very independent life. So to have the presence of something there is very meaningful to me, even if it's, something that someone else might think is meaningless or inconsequential. It's very important to me. So I remember this was like a year or so ago, Athena. I was at the altar talking with her or invoking her, and I just wanted to thank her for being present because I started to see her name even at Target. At Target, I saw her name a few different times, and I was like, okay, I guess she wants me to know that she's really there. And when I would sit down in prayer or in contemplation with her and talking to her, and I was like really emotional, just giving her deep gratitude, I could tell she was annoyed. And I'm just going to be honest with you guys. Like, okay, she was like, you do this all the time, Deanna. I know. Like, you don't have to express yourself so deeply in this way. I know you're grateful. It's just, it's her tone is so specific, how she speaks in her word choice and her behavior. I'm like, oh, okay, not the most emotional person. I've had to learn so hard. Like, oh, okay, a little bit more. I'm not going to use the word stoic, but matter of fact, less emotional. Okay. Also, there, I'm just going to be upfront with this as well. And this is not a judgment of who they are. This is just a reflection of what I've experienced with Persephone. When I've met with her, talk with her, especially at the beginning, and asked for her help with something, she made a comment to me. And when I hear them speak, sometimes it's internal, but other times it's really external and it sounds like a specific person. So I know it's not me. And I was kind of taken aback, like what I heard, but this isn't the first time I've heard this from a goddess. And she kind of tisked and said, well, won't your queen help you with that? And with an attitude, right? What you would consider to be an attitude. And I was shocked to hear it because it was totally unexpected. I wasn't expecting a response in that moment, but I thought, oh my God, really? I wasn't offended, but it's also learning, taking the time to learn who they are. And that's why I also say, learn their stories, learn who gets along and who doesn't get along. They approach things. I'm hearing this as I'm talking to you. So I'm just going to say, like, learn, they approach things very differently. And I'm hearing the spirit tell me they are specifically defined deities with their own personalities, their own goals, right? And I'm hearing their own remedies. So just be aware, be conscious of that when you're sitting down with each of them. But it's not to say anything negative about their character. It's me learning who they are. The other thing I wanted to say to you is I'll talk to you a little bit about Hera because, again, this was not like 2 or 3 years ago. I did not seek her out. I mean, I'm not a mother. I don't have any kids. I'm not married. I don't have a boyfriend. Like, it's just been me, like, hitting the pavement, working every day. And she came out of the blue. And when I would call in to talk to Athena or another goddess would come, she would just pop up. I never asked for her. And we all know her reputation, right? We all know her reputation. So when she popped up, I was like, who is this fiery spirit? She's saying all these things that I would say, you know, like she's getting me fired up. And she thinks the way I think about things for women. And finally, she introduced herself after several tries. I had to make sure I knew who it was. I thought, why are you coming to me out of all people? And she said, not only she, but my guy told me, you guys are alike. You wouldn't think so, but you're very alike, especially in your goals this lifetime, right? Which is helping, lifting up women, empowering women, and giving them the tools to be successful. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's very true. She's a very fiery spirit, and so am I. And she, and I swear she's here right now because I'm starting to get very dizzy. And when I would sit down to connect with her, I certainly would hear her talk to me. And when I said to you guys, what does it look like to have that daily connection? The reason I'm even creating this episode is because I'm still figuring things out. I make time at the altar. I spend time there. I dialogue. I pray. I try to understand. I meditate. I make time to connect. I think that's really crucial when you want to build that. And she's very elusive. I don't mean to turn this into a Hera only podcast, but just to be very honest with you, when you think about what does the day-to-day look like, she can be very elusive. She talks when she wants to. And then when I call her in, let's say I'm working with a friend of mine and they're asking me questions, she'll come in. Which is great because that's better for me to hear clearly. And she's present. She's very fired up. She has a lot of answers, but she also will come in unexpectedly. I remember one day very specifically where I was kind of having like an argument with my spirit guide, just to be honest. I was not getting his point of view and I was not happy to hear what he was saying. And, you know, I'm a fiery personality, so out of the blue, I hear this voice interrupt saying, is there quarrel here? And I looked up, like, oh my God. And it was her coming out of the blue. This is not the first time she's done that. And I was like, oh my God, okay, this is real, you know? And yes, very elusive, comes when she wants to. Even if I dedicate things to her, even if I offer her things and try to talk with her, she'll answer most of the time, but being very visible and present, I mean, she is a queen. Okay. I will tell you another time when she came to me unexpectedly. So, again, I had been approaching her at the altar for a long time, and I talk to her and I do my offerings and I give her, I mean, everything because I do appreciate everything that she has done. She shows up and she's very thoughtful. And I actually think she's very kind and generous. But I will say, I was having such trouble seeing her. And I thought, why is she making this so difficult for me? but I could hear her at times. So, anyway, one night, and this was well over a year ago, one night I was so tired. Now, if you have developed your gifts, or if you're in the process of developing your, I hate to use the word gifts because God, it has such negative baggage with it, or such exclude, like it sounds very exclusive, not inclusive, like, oh, I have gifts and you don't, which is total BS. Everybody does. So just so you know that. But if you are trying to contact a spirit, even though this episode is about daily connection, there's nightly connection. Okay. So at times, if you are really tired, and I mean really, really, really just about to be dead to the world, and you're in your bed, you can call out the goddess's name and ask them to step forward. The chances of you seeing them or hearing them will be very high because you're in that in-between state of being alive and being, you know, in like a coma-like state where your spirit is flying around freely and that boundary is very loose. So that happens to me often whenever I am extremely tired and I'm in the bed. I'm like, oh God, I'm gonna crash hard tonight. And all of a sudden, I will see someone there, or I'll hear someone start talking to me. And then I will try to engage as long as I can, but I usually end up just going to sleep in the end. One quick example, 2 weeks ago, I was very curious because I'm working on Demeter right now. That's a lot to study and read. And I know she had come up before for me. And I was curious, like, if I could even see her or hear her. And I was in the bed about to just, be dead to the world. And I called her name, like, Demeter, am I going to be able to reach you? And all of a sudden, I saw this woman come forward holding a bunch of sunflowers. And it was her. And I thought, oh my God, this is fantastic. And then I went to sleep, of course. So that in-between state can be very short-lived. All of this to say is, yes, the daily connection matters. Doing the daily devotion, it doesn't have to be this elaborate ritual. But even at night, if you are trying to make connections, it's okay to do this while you're in the bed, just to give your thanks, call them out. Even if you're in your head, if you have your partner there, just say, thank you so much for being with me and attending to me and helping me and guiding me. And just start talking to them. And you might actually hear back and you might actually see them. So, this can happen. One more example with Hera. When I was in that in-between state one night, I was really about to just be dead to the world. All of a sudden, I see, like, I am in this palace, and there's this woman walking in front of me, and I'm clearly walking behind her. There's all these white columns. It's very pearl-like. And she has this long brown hair, and she's in front of me, so I cannot see her face. She turns her head to look at me just a little bit. And she told me very definitively, she said, calla lilies, because I had been bringing her other flowers. Oh my God. She was like, calla lilies. And I forget the other thing she said. And we're walking up this winding staircase. And I know where we're at. I swear we're at Mount Olympus. And then she said, by the way, she's like, I want you to know you're going to be visited by a witch soon. Just a heads up. And I said, okay, thank you. And then it was over. Just like that, everything was black and I crashed hard. But it was so funny because in the morning I got up, and sure enough, of course, calla lilies are associated with her. But then she was right about the second half. So it was so unexpected. And also, I was like, why will she not show me her face? But I just heard because you're chasing it. That's so funny as I'm talking to you guys. So, anyway, all of this to say is they're unpredictable. They will come into your dreams. When I was first learning about Caradwyn, she unexpectedly popped into my dreams in the coolest freaking way. I love her. She's just so wise and very deep. The same thing, I've shared these stories before with Athena. That was the, I think, like, the craziest, best dream I ever had in my entire life. Hecate, oh my God. Like, there's just been these experiences where they're dream centered. So all of this to say that if you don't feel, like, physically feel the connection when you're at the altar, call them into your dreams. You probably will start dreaming about them, even symbolically. That's why documenting your dreams is so important, even if it's very minor. Just getting into the act of it, for somehow that triggers your mind to, like, remember more. It's very weird, and I wish I knew the scientifics behind it, but I don't. All I know is that it works. So the more you document, the more you'll start to remember. But don't give up whatever you do, because I'm telling you, it took so long for that episode to have with Hera. So long. And I couldn't understand it. Like, what are you doing, lady? So anyway, daily connection, nightly connection is crucial. Just get into the habit of talking and giving thanks as well. Other ways that you can, like, show your devotion to a specific goddess, you can read a specific passage from a book, right, from one of their stories, or just even studying them. Like I said, you can light a candle and just ask them to guide your mind, to guide your action. If you're working with a very specific goddess, make sure that your request is specific to what they oversee. So for example, let's just say, let's go with Aphrodite, right? If you're working on self-love, you can call her in and ask her to help you see yourself more loving. You can even look in the mirror and spend that time with her, like every day for like 2 minutes in the mirror, right? Always give offerings, you guys. Can I just say this? Please give an offering. I see people on YouTube who are very dismissive of this. I mean, this is an equal exchange of energy, and it's also a sign of reverence and respect. And to me, I guess in my life, that's very important. And I don't believe that this relationship should be take, 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 take. So just keeping that in mind as you're learning about them. One other very, I'm going to deviate for just a quick second here to talk to you about an offering. Two episodes, I think I told you guys before, so I'm sorry if these are old. When I was in Crete, I was just curious to see if I could hear Poseidon. Okay. I just wanted to know. I was like, I'm in his territory. I just want to know. And I'm standing there on the, at the edge of the ocean calling him in. And then it took a little bit. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice say to me, "Where's my offering?" I did not have an offering. I didn't think I'd get a response. I really legitimately didn't. And then I was like, oh my God, okay. And so I had some euros with me. I threw them in and I started talking to him. And he was so nice. Oh my God, so gracious. Like very old man, gracious, cool spirit. And he was so sweet too, like giving me examples of how he can help me and how we can, learn things. But the offering matters is what I was getting at. It's the same thing as when I channel the muses, who are the funniest. I mean, just hilarious. And they all come together. They're all together, giggling spirits. And I remember after I'd spent some time channeling them, one of them came forward and she said, "We have a request." And I said, "Okay, what's the request?" And she responded, "As a sign of an offering, we want you to start wearing a frilly, more frilly shirt for us to be more feminine." I was like, oh my God, okay. So, anyway, the offering matters. It's again a sign of respect, and they're there to help you and guide you as much as they can. So it's just fair, right? And respectful. Anyway, you guys, I didn't want to drag on and on and on. I'm doing my best to get through as much literature as much as possible. It's a lot to read because I like my work to be very comprehensive. I want to know everything that I can know and then hopefully, disseminate the information and in a way that is interesting and not so boring or monotonous, right? Or tedious. There was something else I wanted to say just while I have you here. I know many of you have reached out about this freaking course that I'm creating. It is so long. It is one of the longest classes I have ever created. And it's because I didn't want to create something that was overly simplistic, where you wouldn't learn anything, where it didn't help you establish a devotional practice, where it didn't really connect you to do hardcore work with the goddesses as actual mentors, teachers, and guides, which is how I see them, right? Yes, they're spirits with power in their own right, but they're going to work with you. If you really want to learn from them, then you have to commit. And to me, this class is a freaking commitment. So I'm taking a lot of time on it, but I am so close with being done with the first round of content. I can taste it, and I'm burnt out, but I'm slowly making my way through. So all of this to say it's coming, I swear to God. I swear to God. I swear. So just be patient. I'm so excited for this to be done. And I'm so excited for you guys to really sink your teeth into it and get to learn about this, the goddesses that I've selected to learn certain lessons and to really work on healing your mind, body, and soul. Everyone, thank you so much for tuning in for this week's episode. I really hope everybody is taking care of themselves. I hope they're doing well, and I really hope that you're finding this content helpful. And of course, I've had people reach out recently asking for more channeled sessions, and I'm trying to schedule this with people that I know because I channel way better when somebody's asking me questions externally and they're unexpected. The answers come so much clearer versus me sitting there trying to focus and pick up what I'm getting is a little bit harder. More are on the way, and I'm excited to do them. Everyone, take care. And as I always say, if you have stories, please email me the stories. I would love to hear them. And if you give me permission, I will share them on here too. All right, everyone, talk to you soon. Take care and have a good week ahead. Bye-bye.